The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
So it is 6 p.m. That means it is time for the Soapbox. Taking on that mantle today is Brendan Ogle, social commentator, trade unionist and activist. And the topic today is Brendan looking at how the centre is not holding. Explain.
Yeah, I've been pondering this in the last couple of weeks, particularly. Usually when I'm on this, I've been pondering things for more than a couple of weeks. But this one has just been a couple of weeks. And we're coming into an election cycle. We've the Europeans and the locals, and sometime after that there'll be the general election. And I remember the last election cycle. The Fine Gaelers in particular, I remember Leo Varadkar particularly, talking about, you know, how important it was in those elections that the centre holds. It's a kind of a, you know, it's one of those cliches they use to keep us lefties in our place, you know. And then there's other cliches they use as well, such as, you know, the political establishment being they now, such as they're against populism, you know, whatever that is. But we'll take their interpretation of populism anyway. So what I've noticed in the last few weeks is that the political establishment itself is not holding the centre. And the political establishment is pandering to what they themselves would call populism. And what I'm talking about there is the drift to far-right hate speech, particularly. And I'm going to use that term, hate speech, xenophobia, racism. And the best example I can think, and there's been quite a few, you know, Simon Harris's initial, you know, speeches and coming, becoming leader and next Taoiseach and all that is a hardening. But I'm specifically interested in the running away. My God, it's a sprint. The running away from the hate speech legislation, Helen McEntee's hate speech bill. Now, just let me say, I'm not a fan of Helen McEntee's hate speech bill for a number of reasons. And these are the reasons. First of all, it doesn't properly define hate, which shouldn't be too hard. There's a lot of it around. And second of all, insofar as there are penalties in the bill, the fines aren't big enough and the sentences aren't long enough.
Now, explain to me, hang on, one bit in this. Whatever about the merits or lack of them of the hate speech bill, I would have thought that if you were putting a line down the centre and you're saying on what side of it does the hate speech bill lie, it definitely lies on the more left of centre, liberal end of things. Is the fact that they are, as you say, abandoning a left-leaning or liberal policy, does that of necessity mean a giant swing to the right or just a return to the more centrist policies we would tend to have associated with Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil?
Now I'm going to be provocative now. That's you drawing lines. Stop drawing lines. For the purposes of this 15-minute rant, at least. Maybe we'll draw a line some other day. But I don't see it in that. It's about decency. The hate speech legislation is about decency. Now, I'm only going to read parts of this out because it happened yesterday. If I was coming on tomorrow, there'd be something else happening tonight. So it's happening every day. I have in front of me, and I won't name the woman, but though she is named, a tweet from a woman in West Dublin that she put up last night with terrible pictures of her child. And the woman claims that her child was attacked by what she calls a foreign Pakistani taxi man. Now, she doesn't use the phrase Pakistani. She uses an abridged version. And he was beaten. His teeth were smashed. His jaw was smashed. He got cuts. And she's basically calling on people to rise up against this. She's looking for people to find the CCTV. The chap wasn't even in a taxi. And the poor lad has terrible injuries. She's got 5 photographs up there. And then after this was going on and this was gathering pace, there was a GoFundMe attached to it. I don't know what that was for. Maybe new teeth or something. I don't know. But then one of our neighbours put up a comment that the chap had fallen off a skateboard and had sustained his injuries in that way. Cue the original tweet being removed. And I believe there's a complaint has been made to the Garda. Now, that happens. Something like that happens every night. I had friends last year in Dungarvan. That's hate speech, by the way. That's not free speech. There's nothing free about that. That's lies.
But that's also a lie, as you said.
Yeah, that's lies. Deliberately generated to stir race hate. And last year in Dungarvan, we had a young woman and her family who said that she was raped coming home from a pub by a gang of asylum seekers. And it was the Gardaí themselves. There was the whole community was in uproar. And there was the Gardaí themselves had to go, and RTE actually went down, and the Gardaí actually made a statement that none of this happened at all, and now, the woman was charged.
Is that disenfranchisement? Is that resentment of the state? What is it?
Okay, well, what we have is these racist actors, and they're whipping this up now because we're in an election cycle. A lot of them are running for election, and they're othering. They're trying to turn a group of people, anybody that's not white and Irish, basically, into the target for everything that's wrong in the country, for there being no houses, for low pay, for whatever is aching you today, right? It's not an Irish man or woman who's responsible for that. It's not a policy failure in Ireland. It's the other, the Pakistani taxi man in this case, or the asylum seekers, or the refugee seekers.
But is that driven by people who feel that the pointy end of the services that are needed, they believe, in their communities, are being absorbed by those who are not of their community?
It's driven, well, look, we all have those problems. We all don't go around kicking asylum seekers because we have those problems. We all have hospital waiting lists. I'm a cancer survivor myself. I know quite a lot about the health system. So what it's about is this state, and this is where I want to, this is the soapbox piece, this state failing to get to grips with and not only failing to get to grips, but it appears pandering now. Helen McEntee's bill was a cack-handed attempt to rein in this hate speech. Now, Sinn Féin, for example, voted for Helen McEntee's bill and a couple of weeks ago decided they were against Helen McEntee's bill. Not because they're promising a stronger bill if they ever get into government. They're just running away from it, pandering to populism. Willie O'Dea, I heard on RTE last week, Willie O'Dea says that the current legislation is sufficient to deal with this sort of behaviour that I've just read out. And that the guards need to get on with that. I doubt Willie, when he made that assertion on Claire Byrne, could have cited the legislation. The current legislation is to protect the prohibition of incitement to hatred act 1989. And the clue is in 1989. There was no internet in 1989. There was no social media in 1989. And there was no multicultural Ireland in 1989.
Now, let me put a thing to you. You in your trade union days, you were passionate in your advocacy and passionate in your obstinacy when it was required. Do you think that the people who are now on the far right and are giving voice to the kind of actions and thoughts that you've cited there, do you think the threat of a hate speech bill, do you think the threat of a slap on the wrist in the court would make a blind bit of difference to them, or would it feed a blitz spirit that proves to them that the elite and the establishment is against them and punitively against them?
The first one. I think it would make a blind bit of difference, and I'm glad you raised that, because you're correct to raise that point with me, by the way. I've been in these studios. I've been in studios upstairs, studios down the road, studios all around the place for 25 years. I had a stand-up argument in a corridor out there with a finance minister where we came nose-to-nose one day. I've had tough debates, I've held my corner, and other people have held my corner. And I've generally walked away and shook hands. And that's the way it should be. There is no opposition here, certainly from me, and I don't think from anybody. There is no opposition to robust debate and discussion. There is no opposition to a plurality of views and opinions. But what's not been legislated for now, by the government parties, it seems, who are just waiting for an election to get away from this bill, and even from the main opposition party, what's not been legislated for now is the sort of hate, and I said the press conference, press release to your researcher yesterday from Dublin Communities Against Racism, the sort of hate that's been whipped up to target homeless people in tents, where Irish people aren't being differentiated between asylum seekers, and people are turning up and describing people sleeping in tents because they're homeless as the future refugee camps. And tents are being slashed, set on fire, thrown in canals. Now, this is happening every night. The state has a responsibility to act from a policing point of view, and I could raise questions about that, but from a legislative point of view. And people like Willie O'Dea have been in the Dáil almost my whole life.
Let me ask you though, Brendan, one of the two things, it is challenging but easy to act in response and to act using the judiciary to say, look, we will punish these people, we will arrest them, we will prosecute them, we will do all of that. Hand in hand with that, we need to understand what's driving it. What do you think is causing this? What do you think is causing relatively significant protest? Because back in the day, if you look at something like water charges, you could say, well, I can tell you exactly what's causing that. People resenting the fact that something they believe should be free at point of delivery they're now paying for. What's causing this?
Okay, what's causing this is first of all, well, it's basically a lack of understanding of how anything works. Because when we were talking about water charges, I was coming in here to Pat Kenny's studio, whatever. There were three or four experts up against me. When I was having those debates, I needed to understand how water worked, how privatisation worked, how the cost model worked, how the business model worked, how everything worked, how the country worked, how laws could be changed. So, you know, I think that there has been a kind of a hubristic approach to politics in this country for a number of years, where a low level of dissent is tolerated, and you know, by the body politic, and people were kind of ignored and left out of it, and left out of the debate, and they weren't really important, and that's created, you know, a lot of anger in communities, genuine anger, because there's a lot of things wrong. The homeless emergency being the biggest one I can think of.
Now, that's what I'm wondering. Is it that that is the boiling magma that has found the outlet of racism?
Yeah.
Or was there racism innately there that we haven't seen? Or is it, as you say, the body politic heading right and creating this?
Well, I think it's both. I think it's both the first two. I think the two things can be true at the same time. I think we underestimated the level of latent racism in society, in Irish society, for a number of years because we weren't challenged. The Ukraine war, as probably with over 100,000 people coming in, has really challenged us on that because it just has. So I think there's a latent racism that we underestimated. But there's a genuine anger. Now, I'm not saying people aren't entitled to be angry. People are entitled to be angry about the homelessness emergency. Generations are entitled to be angry about the fact that they've got good jobs and can't afford a home. People are entitled to be angry about the health system. People are entitled to be angry about quite a few things. Okay? But a small number. This is a global. I could go from Moscow to Washington and everywhere in between. Guilders in the Netherlands, Italy. There's a far right party emerging in Spain now, close to getting into power. So around the world now, you know, that is manifesting, and it's manifesting here, and they're all linked in networks to a small number of very loud and very well resourced individuals and outlets, trying to persuade people that their legitimate anger and the ills of them and their offspring are the fault not of the body politic, not of the economic ideology that dominates the planet. But like they're actually saying in some tweets, there's no housing emergency, there's an immigration emergency.
There's a text that I want to bring you which relates to this, but before that, one question, and just as a devil's advocacy.
Of course.
Is there somewhere in that not just a failure of the centre, but a failure of those who used to represent the working classes and who used to represent the working people?
Of course there is.
Where that anger is not finding anybody who gives it voice or consensus or a sense of power or enfranchisement.
Of course there is. The left is a joke. You know, the trade union movement is essentially a public sector movement. A very small number of private sector unions and individuals, and you know it doesn't speak loudly on a whole range of these issues. The housing emergency being one, and has failed. Like there's a lot of construction workers. The trade union movement has utterly failed to organise those construction workers into something that could be called could be offered as a public house building cooperative or something like that. So there's a whole failure there in the trade union movement. Correct, there is, and on the political left. Well, you have to ask how left some of the parties are. But the far left, you know, they're interested in all sorts of issues that may be important. We call them social issues. Have they got policies, realistic policies that they're trying to get into government, that they're trying to change? Or do they just want to be loud protesters and advance some careers, happy to protest on the fringes, but never really have the responsibility of government? That's how it feels to me. So, yes, the left is a failure. There's no doubt about that.
Text that I wanted to bring you. Hate speech laws are fundamentally illiberal. All speech is free speech. We already have specific incitement to hatred laws on the books. The whole point of free speech is it only works if people you don't agree with are allowed to speak. The law is far too broad and is being pushed to allow those in power to define what is acceptable in public discourse. Disgraceful. So the old cliche of, I disagree with what you say, but I will defend to the death your right to say it.
Well, if somebody is going to defend to the death the right of a woman to go on social media, put up photographs of her child, lie about that child being attacked by a foreign national taxi driver, and try to whip up our local community against that ethnicity. And if somebody is going to call that legitimate free speech, that person and that listener needs to give their head a wobble.
Now,
that's hate speech.
Let me ask you one final thing on this, Brendan. You have a situation where there will be a general sense of don't frighten the horses. When you look at the metrics by which you measure Ireland, economically, not so bad. In terms of educational level, not so bad. We can argue the relative merits, but across the board, not so bad. In that situation, the political system must be incentivized to say, let's lean a little bit more to the right to keep everybody relatively happy and keep trying to kick the can down the road. What should they be doing?
They shouldn't be listening to... Listen, let's see what they are doing. They're listening to councillors in places like Mayo and places like Galway who are being silent, almost offending people who are going around burning down buildings that are set aside to house international protection applicants. And that's what's been going on in the last few countries. The councillors are in revolt. Fianna Gaelers and Fianna Fáilers are breaking ranks with their parties. And now we have people in government, TDs, looking to protect their own seats and looking to buy into that populism. That's not political leadership. That's cowardice. And it needs to be called out.
That was The Soapbox. And that was Brendan Ogle, social commentator, trade unionist and activist.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.